You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
All right, Blake, we got to hit a break, but thank you for being the first caller of this show of Almost Entirely Sports. You just took this show's caller virginity or something.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Perfect. That's weird.
On ESPN Kansas City.
God. Beards had like 20 different cuts or something from the show. 30, you said? He had like 30 different things that he cut from yesterday's show. So we're going to have plenty of liner material for the rest of bleeping time. Great work there, Beards. I'm ready to talk about the Chiefs now, though. All sorts of things going on in the NFL in general, and the Chiefs are as interesting as anybody in the NFL is right now, for my money. Although maybe it's a little bit, biased of me to say that because I'm very interested in like Patrick Mahomes, and the rest of the NFL is not going to care about him for a year in all likelihood. But let's talk about the Chiefs and everything else going on across the NFL right now. We are joined by Matt Verderam of FanSided. He's at Matt Verderam on Twitter. Matt, first question. Whenever we are gulped up in a nuclear holocaust, what's the thing that you're going to miss the most?
Probably being able to watch football and have a beer. And that's pretty sad, maybe. That's the thing I'm going to miss most. But you know, I'm a simple man, so I enjoy.
God, I think that's actually a pretty good answer. I've decided that I'm going to be most pissed if we're not allowed to see Patrick Mahomes actually start a football game. Because I've waited this long, and I'd like to actually see it with my own eyes before we are engulfed in a ball of flames.
Well, you know what? That'll just have to be one of life's great what-ifs.
Well, not really of life's, because life will have dissipated at that point. But it will be a great what-if for, I don't know, aliens to eventually ask. Training camp has been pretty interesting. I've been at the training camp a couple of times, seen a couple of practices so far for the Chiefs, and there are a handful of stories, a handful of topics that have come out that to me have been the most interesting. But the thing that's happening with the Chiefs right now that I am most enamored by is by the development of Tyreek Hill. I've been comparing him to guys like DeSean Jackson since like November, so this isn't new ground for me. So I might be more confident than your average analyst or whatever trying to figure out what they think of Tyreek Hill. But I have a theory here that I want to throw at you and then let you tell me if you think that I'm onto something or if I'm on something. Tyreek Hill, for my estimation, can save / completely revitalize this offense this year if Alex Smith lets him. If Alex Smith and, I guess, to some extent, Andy Reid will use Tyreek Hill to stretch the field, use him like a guy like DeSean Jackson, or use him like T.Y. Hilton. All three of those guys, by the way, are listed at 5'10" on like Football Reference. So those are reasonable comps. If they use Tyreek Hill like one of those guys to stretch the field out, then all of a sudden he demands even more attention. Travis Kelce gets even less attention. The running game becomes freer. I think that's the way that this offense can surprise us this year, and it might be the only way I think can surprise us this year. What do you think about that theory?
I mean, I agree with you. The problem I have with the theory is that Alex Smith has never shown any inclination to do that.
Right, that's so I think, good point.
You know, look, there's a reason they drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, of course.
Because they think he can do that.
Of course.
And no, he's not going to do it this year. Okay, so let's just put that to bed. But, you know, I think the problem is, yeah, in a perfect world, yes. If they were willing to stretch the field, they have maybe the best guy in the league to do that with.
Yes.
In Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
They've got a dynamic tight end who you could argue is the second best tight end in everybody's health.
Sure.
You know, and then you've got the running backs aren't great, but they're good. Kareem Hunt's shown a lot in camp. The offensive line is good, could be very good. It's a young group together now for a second year. The problem is they've got a quarterback who is not a bad quarterback, but who is limited. And the thing that he's limited most in is a willingness to take shots down the field. Mm-hmm. And when you have Tyreek Hill, to me, that's a cardinal sin.
I completely agree with that. And that is also the way that this offense doesn't work. That's why I have to couch it with Tyreek Hill will save the offense if Alex Smith allows him to. But let's go ahead then and look into the future a little bit from what you know about Alex Smith. How do you think it actually plays out? Not how should it play out, but how will we actually see this offense develop this year?
I think they're a very average offense. Yeah, by average, I mean literally right around 15-16 in the league.
Yep.
I think they'll run the ball a little better this year because I do think if Spencer Ware starts to wear down a little bit, they've got Kareem Hunt, who I really like. I like his college tape a lot even before the Chiefs took him. So I have some confidence there. CJ Spiller actually looks like he might be a factor,
yeah,
which I kind of still need to see to believe it because he's had a lot of injuries in his career, but he's shown something. The thing with this offense, look, I love Kelce as a number one option, even though he's a tight end. I think Hill is going to get over 1,000 yards just because they're going to use him in so many different ways, and he can make so much happen after the catch. My thing is, until they replace Alex Smith, they're very limited in terms of explosive plays vertically, and teams know that, and they're going to defend him as such, which, honestly, to speak to your theory, if Alex Smith ever just went into a game and said, you know what, screw it.
Yep.
I'm throwing the ball
yes.
a dozen times down the field today. They would score 50 points in that game because no defensive coordinator thinks they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not proved that he can do it. And at 33 years old, I'm kind of out of confidence that he's going to start doing it now.
I agree completely. That's something else that this showed up in camp a little bit. The thing that drives me the most insane about Alex Smith at this point is that unwillingness to challenge a defense, because I don't really think that he is physically incapable of throwing the ball 35 or 40 yards in the air. We've seen him do it. Can he do it with enough air into the ball? Maybe not. And he's definitely not in that top section of the league as far as quarterbacks who can get the ball as far as they want it to and ideally, you know, where they intended to land. But he just seems so damn hesitant to put a ball in a place where it might be a 60% success rate and, you know, make it a 10% chance to pick it and then a 30% chance for it to hit the ground. Those passes don't seem like sure enough things for most of the time, and it drives me nuts.
Anytime Alex Smith sees Tyreek Hill in a one-on-one situation, the ball should be in the air.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what leverage the corner has, what help he's got. Unless he's got a safety directly over the top of him, if Tyreek Hill's in a one-on-one foot race with anyone in the NFL, that ball should be in the air. That's all Alex Smith should have to see.
Yes.
Now, that said, I don't think it'll happen. I think everybody's getting excited because you keep hearing in camp he's throwing the ball deep down the field. And look, that's great. That's a good thing. You want to hear that. And I agree with you, by the way. It's not that he can't do it physically. He just does not do it. He threw one of the best deep balls I have ever seen in that disaster they had in Indianapolis a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When he hit Donnie Avery in the hand 60 yards down the field. It was one of the best throws I've ever seen him make.
Yeah.
So he can do it. He just doesn't do it. And frankly, it's the reason they lost to Pittsburgh, in my opinion. If he was willing to throw the ball down the field in that game, they would have won. Pittsburgh gave him every reason to throw the ball over 25 yards in the air. They were begging him to do it, and he just wouldn't do it. And they ended up scoring 16 points.
This is the fan optimist in me that I don't think makes its way out very often, but I think might right now. Is there any chance that Alex Smith says, bleep it, I know that I'm not going to be here next season if I play like I have my entire career, and that gives him some extra willingness to be a little riskier with the ball, or is that just something that I'm going to say in the preseason to give myself a little bit of hope?
No, I do think that's real, because he's a human being, and I think anybody would say to themselves, I know why they took Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Alex Smith, for his flaws that he does have, he's not a dumb guy.
Mm-hmm.
No,
definitely.
Very intelligent. I'm sure he knows the criticisms about him, and he's looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying, he throws the ball downfield a lot. He has a big arm. If I do that, maybe I'll play out the rest of my contract here. I mean, look, if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith this year, Alex Smith is starting next year. They're not cutting Alex Smith to go
sure.
to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
So I think if you're Alex Smith, you're saying, you know what, I'd sure as heck like to make $20 million in Kansas City next year with a team around me that's good enough to win 12 games annually. And I think, yeah, if you're a Chiefs and that's your one hope with him that he'll get more aggressive, is that he just says, you know what, it's the only thing I have left to keep me here. I've got to try to do it. I've got the weaponry around me to do it. I wouldn't bet on it because history says he's not going to do that. But I will say the year that he ended up getting replaced by Kaepernick in San Francisco, he ended up getting replaced because he got a concussion. He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got hurt, he was easily having the best year of his career. Now, maybe that's just coincidence, but that was the one year where everybody started to talk about him getting replaced, and he played really well. So if you want some hope, that's probably your hope.
That's a good point, and that does give me a little bit of hope that we'll be shattered early on. The best quarterback situation in the AFC West, for me personally, is the Broncos. Not because the Broncos have the best quarterback situation, but because I am getting enormous pleasure out of watching their quarterback situation. There was a tweet today of a reporter who said that he spoke with four different starters from the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, and they all said that the job belonged to Trevor Siemian. Vance Joseph sounded like a lawnmower that wouldn't quite start whenever he was asked if Trevor Siemian had taken the lead. In fact, Vance Joseph was asked if Trevor Siemian had taken the lead in the quarterback battle because he's getting the first start in the preseason. This is what Vance Joseph said.
No, guys.
That is a head coach mortified of his quarterbacks and the idea that one of them has performed better than the other when that is clearly not the case. How destructive is that situation right now, Matt?
They are going to finish in last place this year.
Ooh, really? That's good. I like that. That's a good take.
They are going to finish in last place this year because they have no ability to throw the football.
Yeah.
And a lot. Trevor Siemian, he was a seventh-round pick out of Northwestern. I think for his draft slot, his value, I think he's a really good backup quarterback in the NFL. He's a guy that if your starter gets hurt and Simeon's got to come in for a month, you can survive with him if you've got a decent team around him. The problem is he's not a starting quarterback, and as the year went on last year, Denver couldn't score a point because teams just recognized what. Simeon's willing to throw the ball down the field, but he's very inaccurate. He's not of a strong arm. He's not mobile. Siemian is accurate close to the line of scrimmage, as most quarterbacks are, and he's a smart kid, but he doesn't have an arm. The bigger concern in Denver is, it's no secret, John Elway traded up to get Paxton Lynch. Elway, yeah, in the worst way, wants Paxton Lynch to win this job. If Paxton Lynch can't beat out Trevor Siemian for the second year in a row, despite every tiebreaker is going to go his way, if he can't win that job, That tells you all you need to know about Paxton Lynch in his future, because that's the equivalent of Patrick Mahomes going out and not being able to beat out Chase Daniel 2 years in a row.
Ooh, that's good. On Twitter, I said it was like the equivalent of Patrick Mahomes getting beaten out by Tyler Bray, undrafted guy, as opposed to a seventh rounder with Siemian. That's exactly the comparison, though, that I tried to draw to it. And it just would be, I mean, can you imagine how devastating that would be? Alternatively, it would also have to be like if Pat Mahomes got beaten out by Tyler Bray, and then Deshaun Watson became a very, very good quarterback because the Cowboys settled for Dak Prescott.
Oh, not only that, the Chiefs wanted Paxton Lynch.
Yes.
And the Broncos traded over them to get him and then laughed about it. Well, listen, at this point, the biggest concern I had watching Lynch come out of Memphis was, he's kind of got some funky mechanics. He's got a huge arm. He's a big guy. And he's really, almost size-wise, he's enormous. But he just, the accuracy was always going to be a concern in this league. It's been a concern to this point. He's thrown a ton of interceptions in camp. Last year when he did come in and play, he didn't look especially good. In fact, he looked pretty mediocre. I think if you're the Broncos, you've got to be saying to yourself, look, offensively speaking, We are incredibly limited. And defensively, look, I still think the Broncos have a great secondary. Von Miller is probably the best edge rusher in football. The problem is they lost Wade Phillips, which people just gloss over because he's a coordinator.
Right.
Wade Phillips is a gigantic reason that defense has been as good as it's been. He brings so many exotic scheme looks, different kinds of pressures. Without him, that is a totally different defense. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff, but they're not going to be dominant. They're going to be good to very good. And when Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch is your quarterback, you need to be great to get to the playoffs. I think Denver this year, if there's not mass improvement out of that quarterback position the next month, I think they're a 6, maybe a 7-win team.
I'm just curious. We don't have to completely let this cat out of the bag. But if they would have signed Colin Kaepernick at the end of last offseason, or you know, in time for him to be through every piece of their offseason camp and everything, you say they're a 6-7-win team as currently constituted. What would they be if Colin Kaepernick would have been on this team 2 months ago?
I think maybe an 8-win team, maybe a 9-win team. I think he makes him better because he's harder to defend.
Of course.
Kaepernick does certain things that, you know, he breaks down the play. He can play outside the pocket. Now, the problem with Kaepernick, and it's part of the reason he's not signed, is he's not great from inside the pocket. He doesn't especially read defense as well. He struggles with his accuracy to the second level. And so it's hard to build an offense around him. That said, with the offensive line that's in Denver, which I think is improved, but it's not great, and he's got those two big-time receivers, I actually think Kaepernick would be a decent fit in Denver. He'd certainly be better than anything they have now, but I don't think it would make them better than the Chiefs. I don't think they'd be better than the Raiders. I don't even know necessarily they're better than the Chargers, although the Chargers already have lost a couple of fairly important pieces to their team, so that one would be up for debate.
The Jets are currently living in a hellscape beyond my human understanding.
They're not good.
They're not good. Their number one receiver is, Frankie Hammond is on their roster right now. Frankie Hammond is on the Jets roster and might catch a pass this season. Josh McCown is their quarterback. Are they going to go, if I give you over under 1.5 wins for the Jets this year, what are you taking? And that's reasonable, right? Like, that's a good line at this point.
That's a good line.
God.
You know how NFL films at the end of every year, they make those yearbooks for each team?
Yeah, right.
I think the title for that should be Frankie Hammond made this team.
Yes.
And then everybody would know immediately, oh, God, I don't need to watch. 1.5 is actually good. I think Vegas is 4.5.
Oh, my God.
Insane. By the way, if anyone's listening to this, I don't want to encourage gambling, but if the line is still 4.5, it was a week ago. If you're thinking about making extra income, maybe the under would be a good time right now.
I'm just doing some Googling currently because
I was talking to someone yesterday, and actually Kansas City came over, got to when they played the Jets in December. And I said, you know, if the Chiefs played their entire second string against the Jets, I still think the Chiefs would win the game.
I think you're right.
I would say that. I mean, really, I really think if the Chiefs played their entire second string, they'd probably still be favored and probably win. Look, the Jets, I don't think they're going 16 because I just think it's almost impossible. So I know the Lions did it a decade ago. And I actually think the Lions team that went on 16 is more talented than this Jets team. But you know what? If there's going to be one win this year, it's going to be some weird game against the Bills. Because
right.
The Bills are always good for some nonsense like that. I don't think the Jets win more than a game. I really don't. I would take the under on your proposition. I think the Jets, if they win 3 games this year, Todd Bowles should get a contract extension.
Sure.
And that's not an exaggeration. He really should.
Bovada has the Jets as the worst odds to win the Super Bowl at this point. In fact, the Bills are plus 15,000. The Jets are tied with the Niners and Browns. All of them are plus 30,000. Yeah, on Bovada, their over-under is 4.5.
Yeah, take the under.
There's no
take
chance.
Take the under and then take your significant other out for a really big date.
Yeah, and don't wait.
You're going to win the money back.
Yeah, don't wait until it's over. Don't wait until the season's over. Just do it right away. Bet your money and then celebrate because you got the bet in before they change the line. That's unbelievable.
Not only is it 4.5, they play the NFC South, which none of those teams are going to lose to the Jets. They play the AFC West, which none of those teams are losing to the Jets. They play New England twice. They play Miami twice. Say what you want about Miami. Miami's going to pound the Jets twice.
Yes.
That's 12 games right there. There's your under.
I have nothing to, fight that with because you're completely right. I'm just staring at this like it's minus 200 for the under 4.5, but that's okay. I can live with that.
I hope, by the way, and forgive me if I'm wrong, I believe on Christmas Eve they play Jacksonville. So I hope everybody's ready to accept that in their heart on Christmas Eve.
That's going to be the gift?
And Cleveland-Chicago that same day. So those two games Christmas Eve. Have fun. Enjoy that.
I didn't intend to have you on to have you talk while I Googled the Jets' schedule, but I just did. They play the Jets and Jags play on October 1st.
Oh,
hold on. This is where we get. Oh no, they have the Jags at home on October 1st, and on October 8th they go to Cleveland.
That's it right there for anybody hoping to get the over.
That's week 4 and 5.
Yes, and I got to tell you, when's the last time you looked at a game with the Browns and said, Well, the Browns are favorite tonight. They're winning that game. I mean, honestly. And you look at that game and say, that game's in Cleveland. That's not winning that game.
No. But, I mean, also, you know, the Browns aren't winning that game. Maybe they – tie, is that, just a, is that a half of a win?
I listen, you know what?
Incredible. Oh, my goodness.
I am from New York. And yeah. I will tell you, I know many people right now who are actively rooting for the Jets to go 0-16, who are Jet fans, because they just desperately want a shot at a franchise quarterback.
Of course. I mean, it's if it's going to be – I mean, I guess you could say that the Browns could Jimmy Clausen it. But even if the Browns end up with the worst record, as long as the Jets are worse than the Niners are, they're going to get their shot at a quarterback.
Right.
So good luck to whoever ends up there, though, because right now the Niners and the Jets are in such terrible places now because they're so devoid of talent. They could get a really good rookie quarterback in there next year and get absolutely trash results out of it because they're not going to have anything for them to be built around.
I think the Jets, now, in full disclosure, I'm 29. The mm-hmm. Jets in my lifetime, this is the worst roster I've ever seen. And I saw the Chiefs when they were starting DeVar Darling and Mark Bradley at receiver.
It's a good pulse.
I mean, that Chiefs team was like the Niners of the 80s compared to the Jets right now. The Jets, with the new look going down for the year, you could really make an argument that they don't have one legitimate player on that entire offense. I like Matt Forte, he had a great career. He is done.
Yeah.
And that defensive line is good. Everybody else, I don't know how, barring a team just completely going in the tank against them, how the Jets are going to win maybe more than one game with a couple lucky bounces. I mean, you know, Kansas City plays them in December. If the Chiefs just show up in that game, they're going to win by 20 points. Pretty much going away. I could see the Chiefs being a 2-touchdown favorite on the road in that game.
They could be a touchdown favorite on the road in that game if Tyler Bray started. I would contend for that to be a chance to see him in an NFL game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long year for the Jets. And by the way, New England. Does New England ever have to play a team that's any good in that division? You know, somebody mentioned, and I want to give credit, but I cannot remember who it was. Might have been Scott Kazmir of Football Outsiders, mentioned that the best team the Patriots have played in Tom Brady era in their division was the Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan Jets.
Holy God, you're right.
And when you think about it, like, it's true. That is the best team. The Bills haven't made the playoffs ever in that stretch. The Dolphins have been to the playoffs, I believe, 3 times, and I think their quarterbacks were Pennington, Matt Moore, and Jay Fiedler. It's incredible. And listen, the Patriots would be great no matter what division they played in, but they basically are granted a first-round bye every single year by just playing in that division.
That's a good call. All right, Matt, let's get you one more question. We'll get you out of here on this. I'm just curious, very, very macro, what's going on in the NFL that we haven't talked about yet here today or that you are most interested by?
You know, I would say the concern around Andrew Luck that he might not play the first, you know, 6 games of the year, might be on the pup list with that shoulder injury. He's still rehabbing. Nobody's talking about that, and I feel like the Colts are kind of a wild card in the AFC because if Luck is there, I think that roster stinks to high heaven. But yep. I do like the offseason they had with Chris Ballard. I think he's done a really nice job there coming over from Kansas City. I love the pick of Malik Hooker. They brought in Jonathan Hankins on the defensive side of the ball. They had a little bit there. Sean Spence came in as well. So the Colts with Luck in that division, if he's healthy, I think they could win 9 or 10 games. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I think they could maybe make the playoffs and take away a wild card spot perhaps from one of the teams in the West.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not there for the first 6 games of the year, I don't know that they win a game without him. Maybe they go, I'd have to look at their schedule, maybe they go 1-5 or 2-4 at best, but they're probably done already. So I think that Luck injury, that needs to be talked about more because I really think that could be the difference between the Colts taking up a playoff spot and the Colts being irrelevant by the time we hit Thanksgiving.
Do you know their backup quarterback off the top of your head? I just had to Google it.
Oh, God. Is it still Scott Tolzien?
Yes, it's still Scott Tolzien.
Yeah, he's not good.
How is that possible?
By the way, like, there's another example. Like, and I know their offense is really, really defined by being in the pocket, and yep. I'm not one of these people who shills for Kaepernick for every job because yep. I understand why he doesn't have one for football reasons, forget the political stuff, but that's a position, like, you're a coordinator. Who are you more scared to play? Like,
no
Colin Kaepernick or Scott Tolzien?
No kidding. And if you're this is an instance where I understand, I understand why the Jags haven't brought in Kaepernick, because they're not really trying to win. They're trying to give Blake Bortles one more chance. I know the Jets haven't brought in Kaepernick because they're not trying to win at all. I get it. But if you're the Colts, and if you have to get through 6, 7, 8 weeks without Andrew Luck, you can't lose 5 or 6 of those games because Scott Tolzien is there.
I mean, if you're Chuck Pagano, you're pretty much shilling for anybody other than Scott Tolzien.
You have to be.
Ballard, he's not going anywhere. They go on 16. He's not going anywhere, nor should he. If they go 4-12 or 5-11 or even 6-10 with Pagano, Pagano is gone.
Done.
And Ballard's bringing in his own guy, which might very well be Dave Toe, by the way. So Chiefs fans should be rooting like crazy for the Colts to go 7-9 or 8-8 and somehow save Pagano's job.
Boy, I hadn't even considered the idea of Kaepernick to Indy. It makes the most sense in the world. And, yeah, I would hate to lose Dave Toe. All right, I'm talking to Matt Verderame here, at Matt Verderame on Twitter. He's all over fan-sided. Every once in a while I see your avatar change, and you're either in, like, a studio or doing something that just makes me think that you are clearly the rising star here, and I'm happy to hitch this wagon to you for as long as we can before you end up talking to someone on FS1.
I feel like that's overly generous.
Well, I brought you back down for the FS1 thing.
I was going to say, really, honestly, I don't want to go on FS1 because they don't support writing, and I don't support them.
Good. Yeah, it's been on in front of me all day today, and one TV's been on FS1, and one TV has been on ESPNU, which is doing the Ocho thing today, where they're showing, like, dodgeball and everything, and so up in front of me, I have seen one absolute clown show, and then also ESPN doing the Ocho.
Fox Sports 1 exists to prove that money does not buy everything.
No kidding.
Money cannot fix it, because nobody has, well, ESPN has more money, but Fox Sports 1, they got plenty of money. And you look at the lineup, and look, they got some talented guys over there, no question, but there are a lot of people over there. You're just like, how did that happen?
Right. I can't believe.
I'll never understand.
I cannot believe that Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd have a TV show. Also, Colin Cowherd's on air for, what, like 5 hours a day now? Regardless, I can't believe that Jason Whitlock has a TV show in 2017.
No, we're all going to look back in about 20 years and say, can you believe 2017 happened? And, you know, like, there, if you listed the top 50 things just in sports that have been crazy, I feel like the Whitlock thing probably makes the list, but it's not like a headliner where, like, 10 years ago you would have been, can you believe Whitlock's got a television show? Like,
right.
I don't know. It makes my brain leak out of my ear. So.
Well, in 20 years, we're gonna tell our kids, hey, we would tell you about 2017, but in 2018, we were all destroyed by nuclear weapons, so actually this conversation never happened.
Awesome.
So
always,
at least we
always looking forward to that.
At least whenever the nuclear winter sits upon all of us, we'll at least no longer have to deal with Speak for Yourself being on FS1.
Yeah,
all right,
Matt. The only thing that makes it through.
Oh, no, that's a great point. That'll be the time capsule that aliens find in 1,000 years. That's not what I want for the human race to be represented by. All right, Matt, I've kept you for far too long, and I appreciate every minute of it.
Hey, anytime, Josh. Take care.
Thank you. That's Matt Verderame. He's at Matt Verderame on Twitter. He's of fansided.com, and he's just a generally good person to have a discussion with. I really like Matt. I'm glad that he's on. We're going to keep roping him in on this show, talk about Chiefs, all things going on in the NFL, and occasionally, like, just how bad the Jets are. I almost cursed about how bad the Jets were until I realized, like, uh-oh, that'd be my job, probably. How bleeping bad the Jets are, and how bleeping bad Fox Sports 1 is. We'll be back with a bleeping terrible segment next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Inside my own head currently, I'm debating how interested I am in comparing Jason Whitlock to a big, gross seal.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Nice Paul Beards. God, I'm trying to stay away from all of my Jason Whitlock feelings. And there are several of them. Something that I just saw that happened while we were talking to Matt, apparently Lynn Dawson is going to be retiring after this season in the booth doing color commentary for Chiefs games. He's been doing it for as long as I've been watching the Chiefs, listening to the Chiefs. I met him during an in-game broadcast, actually, 2 years ago now, I think. It was a part of my school radio thing. He was great, and Mitch was great. Also, though, I think last year, I don't know if it was his first year or second year doing this, he was only doing home games, and Kendall Gammon was doing the road games. Kendall Gammon was great. I remember listening to games last year and thinking that Mitch and Kendall Gammon were a great duo. So I hope that this means Kendall Gammon ends up doing the whole slate of games next year, and that this is him taking over also. Beards, you have something to say?
I do. I looked up. I was curious how long Lynn Dawson had been doing this.
Yeah.
Since 1985.
Wow. That's a pretty good
stretch.
So
before you were born and before I was born.
Yeah. That's what, 32 years? I'll be doing it for 32, 33?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, he just, I don't know how to talk about this, really. I'm glad that Kendall Gammon will be hopefully getting the full slate of games. Lenny seemed less insightful over the last couple of years, which made me sad. So I hope this is his choice to pack it up after this year. And I hope that he has a good season this year and then a good retirement.
He is 82, I should point out.
Make all of this make sense. Yeah, so Kendall was great. I hope he takes over. I hope Lenny has a good stretch this season. And yeah, I hope we don't find out something ugly later on about it, I guess. That it was not a mutual parting or whatever, but I certainly hope that it was. I had something I wanted to talk about several times over these last few days, and I just keep forgetting to, and I finally moved it up in my notes today because I wanted to make sure we talked about it. I took a bath in a hotel bathroom in St. Joseph when I was out there for training camp. And like a bath bat. Like, actually, and so here's a couple of things. This is a very neurotic thing that I did, and then also just kind of how it went. I thought for me, like, oh, I could take a bath. I don't have anything to do. I wonder if this would be, like, relaxing or whatever. I was like, ooh, also, baths are gross. You sort of sit in your own, like, stew for a little while. It's just your own filth. You're surrounded by your own filth. You can take a shower and just, you know, be cleansed by water that washes you from your head to your toes. It seemed like a much better way of doing things. So I took a shower. And then I was like, you know what? I really have nothing else. Let's go ahead and fill this tub up. So I took a shower and then I took a bath. Which is one of the most, I think, neurotic things I've ever done. And it was a good reminder of why I don't take baths. The tub was just too small. The water level kept going down. I sloshed them out on the floor that I had to use the hotel towels to clean up afterwards. It was just, in general, not a very successful operation. Beards, when do you think the last time was that you took a bath? You seem like you could sneakily just be a guy who, like, has, like, those little bath bomb things.
No.
And just unwinds in the tub after a long day at work. You also seem like you could be the guy who just bathes underneath, like, trees whenever it's raining. I can't put my finger on it, to be honest. You're kind
I'd
of
have
a,
to go with, like, last time I could remember, probably 13 years or something.
13 years ago at age 13? I'm confused.
13 years ago or something.
How old are you?
20. I'll be 25 at the end of the month.
Okay, so we're going to say 25. So you would have been 12-ish.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I feel like it's been too long. If you're going to do it, though, like, find a tub that fits you. That's
what
I've
learned. That would be nice, yes.
What I've learned is that don't. If you look at a tub and go, that doesn't seem like spacious enough for this whole interaction, then just don't do it. It'll ruin it for you for the next long stretch of time. I did try to do the Ricky Gervais thing, though. You have to Google this. If you're listening right now, we're going to play this game called Stop and Google This Thing. Ricky Gervais is sort of famous for taking really like horrendous selfies in the bathtub where he will just like use the refraction of the water. I think it's refraction, not reflection. I'm not sure. I think it's the water refraction where it just like if he puts it, like half of his face underwater, basically half of his face like disappears. I can see Beards' expression right now. I know he found the pictures.
And oh, yeah. I found the pictures all right.
Yeah. It's just kind of like this amazing. He talked about it on some late night show. It's just sort of this amazing thing that Ricky Gervais just like does. And
I'm not sure my life has been made better.
That's fair.
By viewing these photos.
That's fair. I'm Googling now myself to see if I agree with this is if this made you. No, my life is better. I'm seeing it again. My life is better. And I kind of tried for that.
There's one with him and Conan O'Brien on set.
That's why. Yeah. That was during a show. Because I think he was on Conan and Conan like confronted him about this. And then they just did one. Mine didn't turn out quite that well. But in fairness, if I thought enough people would see it, I would retweet it as like a publicity thing. It wouldn't though. It would get like one like, and then like everyone who I know would be like, "Hey man, don't do that. That was weird and gross."
There's one of him wearing like a Roman centurion hat helmet.
like an actual one?
Yes.
Not like a Snapchat filter?
And there's one where he's got a Viking helmet on.
Oh, I see the Viking one right now. It has braids.
Does it?
Yeah. Like a Norwegian Viking hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
He also colors out his front teeth with like some sort of black coloring. So it's even more disturbing. That's nice. I didn't go that full distance. Anyway, that was something that was one of the few things that happened in St. Joe that I haven't talked about on air yet. The other thing that happened that I haven't talked about on any of my shows yet is that I fell asleep, took a nap because I was tired. I woke up early, drove to St. Joe that morning without training camp all day, was up late, and then I fell asleep. And I turned off my phone ringer because that's, you know, you're going to take a nap, whatever. And I had forgotten that I was supposed to be on sports night with Cody. So I actually, oh man, I wish I would have planned this out sooner and had these ready to go. I wanted to eventually play the voicemails that Beards left me because they were just like vaguely panicked and super annoyed. We might have to do that tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow we'll play some of Beards' neurotic voicemails.
I won't be here tomorrow, probably, so that's a good time to do
perfect.
It.
Perfect. Good. We'll bring you back.
You can let Charlie hear them for the first time.
Good. That'll be good.
By the way, I talked to Charlie during
You called him when I was talking to Matt.
Yeah,
what's
so
going
I
on?
He was wanting to make sure I knew something about later tonight over on 810. But anyway, he said that he is listening right now. We at least have one listener.
That's good. I think my mom probably has the app, so we might have two or three even. I'm trying to figure out where to go from that. Oh, man, the phones were still locked. We could have been taking calls this whole time. Beards let the phones close after we hung up with Matt. You can always call the show at 913-491-8255. But we're in a stage right now of this show where literally, like, yesterday, we're going to have, like, some dark days for a little while. Because yesterday, like, I had, like, friends and family were listening and everything. And I was like, oh, first show. Got the show with my name on it. That's cool. Friends and family tuning in. And eventually, like I said, I was talking to some salespeople earlier today. That one all went really well. That was exciting and fun. I was talking to them, and we're going to try to, you know, get me out in some places where we can introduce people to the show. And then at that point, you know, the audience starts to grow in a different way, but beyond my Twitter and my podcast reach. But from, like, today until I have some sort of extra audience built, I don't think we're going to get a bunch of calls or anything, which is fine. That's fine. The only thing that I've realized is like, I started doing podcasts freshman year of college because my school's radio station just had nothing else going on. And so like the manager of it basically was like, yeah, you can kind of do whatever you want, I guess, because we don't have no other programming. So it's like, great. So I started a Chiefs podcast with a friend of mine. And I'm doing it since then. And there was a time in that whole process where it was like, oh, God, this isn't worth it. Because if you're just doing radio into a void, it is deadening. Your soul will leave your body if you believe that you don't actually have listeners. And so eventually I got hooked up with Arrowhead Addict, which eventually was run by Matt Verderam. And now he's moved on to bigger and better things with Fansided. But feeling like you are feeling like you're talking into the void is the worst way of having your soul ripped from your radio body. So all of that to say that I am extremely appreciative of all of the people that have tweeted me and everything over these last couple of days as this show has gotten on its feet for the first time. I am just I'm extremely grateful for that, because again, screaming into the void with no responses other than Beard's blank dead stare, and occasionally Beard's just like looking at his own bleeping phone, that's no way to go through life.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We just had a nice conversation during the break about Caillou, the kids show from... It's not still airing, is it?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Jordan. His name in French means pebble.
Really?
On ESPN Kansas City.
This is one of the most impressive facts that Beards has ever added to the show. I was just really interested in that. Name means pebble. Welcome back to the last segment of the day for Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly slash Nathan Wilhelm, running the board. A couple other things here on the way out of today's show. First of all, the Chiefs signed former Penn State kicker Sam Ficken because Cairo Santos has a groin injury. Andy Reid said today that this is only going to happen if there was a chance that Santos might not be ready for the preseason game. I would expect him to be ready to go for the second or third one, and then ultimately the whole season. Another thing with the Lynn Dawson conversation we were having, a name that I forgot about that popped up on Twitter here, Trent Green would also make a lot of sense. Jeff Rosen from The Star said that currently he's the Chiefs preseason color guy for TV and regular season radio analyst on Westwood One's Thursday Night Football broadcasts. I'm not completely sure that Trent Green would want to take that step. I don't know if that's a forward or a backward step to go from doing Thursday Night Football stuff for Westwood One to step from that to becoming the Chiefs' local color guy. I'm not sure, but I would be totally down with it. Trent Green has been very, very good. I feel like he's been doing CBS TV broadcasts.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like he did a lot of CBS games
last season
year.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought, but it wasn't in Jeff's tweet,
so I don't know if he'd want to leave cushy TV job for cushy radio job.
I don't know if he would make that move. I would be happy to see him make that move. I'd be happy for him to end up making that transition to replace Lynn Dawson. And if you guys haven't heard, Lynn Dawson, this will be his last season with the Chiefs as the color guy. I'd be happy to see that, but again, Kendall Gammon was really, really good last season whenever he was the color commentator in the booth with Lynn. I'm not sure we got deep enough into the whole Denver Broncos quarterback situation with Matt last segment, or last earlier this hour, whatever. They're in really big trouble. I don't think they're going to end up losing, or ending up in last place in this division, which is what Matt was predicting. I think the Chargers have too many flaws at this point, too many injuries, too many things that are just going to be impossible to deal with. But they're going to be third in this division at best. For my money, it's going to be Chiefs and Raiders and Broncos and Chargers. That's how this division is going to set up in those two tiers. The Broncos have a lot of talent. I said earlier today, I think I said this on What's on Tap. I might have said it here. I don't remember anymore. It's all been the same microphone. So, I mean, this whole, you know, existence just blurs together. But the Broncos might have the most talented group in the AFC West from 2 to 53. But they are going to have the worst quarterback play in the division by a large margin. There are at least four quarterbacks in the division that I would rather have right now than either of the Broncos quarterbacks. I would at least rather have Smith and Mahomes and Rivers and Carr than Simeon or Paxton Lynch. And again, as Matt pointed out, Paxton Lynch was like the apple of John Elway's eye. The Broncos traded up, hopped the Chiefs to get to Paxton Lynch. And also, I don't know what Matt just said it, so I think it must be sort of common knowledge. The Chiefs were very interested in Paxton Lynch. That is not the first time I've heard that come down the line. Matt said it. I've heard it elsewhere. That was a guy that apparently they were interested in. And he is just not taking that job away from Trevor Siemian in any way, shape, or form. I think the Broncos largely wanted Paxton Lynch to take that job last year. Last season, I think in an ideal world, they would have gone with Paxton Lynch even as a rookie. Because obviously they go Super Bowl with Manning and Brock Osweiler platooning. And then they go and they draft Paxton Lynch. Trevor Siemian was the guy who was sort of being like groomed underneath Manning and Osweiler, if I've got all my facts straight, as a seventh round pick. The Broncos said, no, this is not the guy. This is not the guy that's going to take over from here. So they went and got Paxton Lynch, hopped over the Chiefs, got their quarterback of the future. And their quarterback of the future is incapable of beating out Trevor Siemian right now. And this is not because this is not a situation where you've got two good options. Everything I've heard out of Broncos training camp from media and from the head coach has been hugely negative. And as I said earlier, this would really be very similar to Tyler Bray beating out Patrick Mahomes for the starting job next year in Kansas City. Now, Siemian started last year, so it's an imperfect comparison. But it's pretty close. And the Chiefs traded up. They traded a little bit more than they traded more than the Broncos traded away to go get Mahomes. And Tyler Bray has had less, I guess you could say, success than Trevor Siemian has, although I don't know if you could call what Trevor Siemian has done much of a success. They finished third in the division last year. It's just, if it was anybody but the Broncos, I would say that they are currently a shame because they're going to be wasting a lot of really good talent. They have one of the two best pass rushers in the league. They have two of the 5 or 10 best corners in the league. They have a really, really talented defense. And they have two really good receivers. I think their offensive line is a little bit of a mess. But they have, at the most important positions, pass rusher, cornerbacks, receivers, all the most important positions except for quarterback, they have some stupendous talent. And they are just, they are completely, completely lost right now. At the quarterback position, I would be worried about the Broncos if they had Colin Kaepernick. I would be more worried if they had Jay Cutler. Which I know, I understand the whole, like, you know, time would be a flat circle and that ends, everything comes back around to you. I would be more concerned. I was afraid they were going to end up with Tony Romo. Because for all the Tony Romo conversations that we were having as that drama was unfolding, I said at the time, I don't really want the Chiefs to go get Tony Romo. I want them to draft a franchise quarterback, ideally Patrick Mahomes. Ching, ching. But the fear that I had was that they would go end up with Romo, and then what was the worst-case scenario? The Broncos' worst-case scenario is they play a couple games, win a couple games, Romo gets hurt, and then they end up having to go to Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian, which is the reality that they are now currently living in. What an atrocious place for them to wind up. If I was the Broncos, I would have been backing up the Brinks truck to say, listen, Tony, come give this a shot. We're going to make the cap space because we have virtually no dead cap space. Give us 1 year. We tried it with Peyton Manning, and guess what happened there? Rings. We can get you a ring, Tony Romo. I would have made that argument because I think they've got a lot of really good pieces. Now, that offensive line going up against the AFC West pass rushers, it would have been unlikely that they would have gotten a healthy Tony Romo. But again, what would they have lost? Some cap space. Because their backup quarterback then is their starting quarterback now. Their second stringer now would have been their third string quarterback then. The Broncos are a real mess right now. Which might be the most fun thing that I've pointed out all day. I am critical of teams I like, and I can praise teams I don't like, but I will not pretend that I'm not enjoying the fact that the Broncos are in bad shape right now. That would just be, that'd be untruthful. Thank you to Matt Verderam, at Matt Verderam on Twitter, for joining us today. Thank you, Beards McFly, Nathan Wilhelm, for running the show. My name is Joshua Briscoe. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6. That's how this Daily Show thing works, I suppose. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.